If there's any word that goes along with John the Baptist, it's prepare. John had a different, shall I say, a different way of preparing for the Messiah and all of the internal changes that would happen in each one of us when the Messiah would arrive. We hear this same scripture that have been the scriptures that have been shared this morning, and the one that Bruce just shared with us now, I wonder if you really hear what John is doing, because it's so familiar. John is wearing garments of camel hair. So you'd say, okay, big deal. So what? Camel hair is not quite porcupine, but it is like boar's bristle, thick, whisker-like, if I can put it that way, scratchy, and he wears it inside out so that the hair is constantly prickling his skin. Why on earth would anybody do this unless you kind of have lost it a bit? No, he's doing this intentionally. What? Because John's way of preparing is to do everything to stomp down and diminish the selfish little ego in us that says, I want it my way all the time, my, me, my, mine. So his clothes are of camel hair. I bet you'll never hear that scripture again the same way. I hope you don't. Inside out. Ouch. What does he eat? Honey. Well, that's a great thing. How does he get the honey? I can imagine that's a kind of a painful experience. Can you? Markets are not selling it. He's got to find it because he doesn't come into town. He stays out and he eats honey and he grabs the grasshoppers. That's what locusts are when he can get them. Yum. John's way of preparing is to diminish this selfish little me inside of all of us. That's the way he prepares for the Messiah. Then he does another thing. But we'll get to that. Hope. That's the theme today. He did hope for a Messiah to come in a very deep and real way. And his way of hoping is, again, just John the Baptist is a weird guy. He's just different. He's unique. His way of hoping is to stay in a constant state of repentance. Where as often every minute of the day as possible, he keeps himself, I'm sorry, and it's you first, God, not me. He baptized people. Well, we've got our baptism font right here. It's pretty safe. I'd have to try hard to drown in that thing. But when he baptizes people, including eventually Jesus, he takes them out into the middle of the River Jordan because he's out in the wilderness by the river. He goes out into the river, into the deeper part, and he plunges everybody he baptizes under that water. And I wonder if he was like a good Baptist preacher until they start to squirm and they finally let him up. I've heard that. I've never been a Baptist preacher, so I've just heard that. It is not just a symbol of dying. You could literally die by drowning. What is he emphasizing here for us to for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah? He's again emphasizing to the nth degree, not just suppressing, not just squishing out, not just tamping down this little selfish ego in us. He is actually taking us to the point where if he held us under the water long enough, we would actually start to think, I am going to die. And realize, I got to change my focus. Fast. Like, grab his arm or kick him or do something and get up out of the water. He takes us to the point of realizing that this little self dies. I told you, he's a weird guy. He's extreme. And Jesus went to him to be baptized. Think about this. Before he started his ministry. The end of an old life. The end of an old era. And the beginning of a brand new one. Takes some preparations. And they all have to do with moving ego, little me, out of the driver's seat. It's not easy to do, and John is not easy. Doesn't choose an easy way to do it. How do you and I measure our lives? That is one big measuring bowl, is it not? How do you and I measure our lives? Well, John the Baptist, I've just talked about the way he did it. The other picture is stuff. Stuff. We get stuff, we accumulate stuff to try to fill the bowl, to try to be happy, to be fulfilled. And maybe this newest thing will bring the measure up and I'll feel happier. But it always evaporates, doesn't it? It doesn't. We're always filling. It's like there should be a hole down here in the bottom of this. We're always filling, filling, filling. It's like trying to eat the whole of the donut. Because the little me in each of us thinks that the stuff is going to fill our lives. Make the life for me easier. Never works, does it? Never works. John the Baptist knew this. So in sometimes extreme ways, he takes the little self and walks it to the door, kicks it out, closes the door, and then locks it. And that's how he prepares to receive the Messiah again and all of the changes that brings within us. So let me leave you with a story. A monk comes to the master, and the monk comes up and says, "What do I need to do?" Appropriate question, because this is what all the monks need to start asking when you enter that kind of a lifestyle. What do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to be saved? This salvation, I want this so badly. The master is pouring tea, so he takes the tea and he offers a mug to the disciple, or the monk, and the monk says, "Sure." And so he starts to pour, and as he keeps pouring, he keeps pouring after the mug is full. And the monk is, you know, his hands are, "Well, stop, 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 stop." And the master says, "You are like that mug. You came to me and you asked me about salvation. Well, God can't fill you up if you're already full. You have to first empty so there's space for God to fill you up." That's John the Baptist's message. We have to empty out little me first if we want God to fill us up. Amen.